Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Glorified servant. When something's glorified, what's that sound like to you? Lipstick on a pig. It's a glorified pig. When I was a kid, my mom had this dish that she would make for us called glorified rice. You ever have that? Glorified rice. It's like rice with stuff in it. But it's still, Mom, it's still rice. Sometimes when I'm ambitious, I cook breakfast for the family. I make eggs. That's about all I'm good at. And scrambled eggs because, you know, you've already broken it. So, but I glorify the eggs with some herbs from, well, I grow herbs in the garage. So garage herbs. So glorified eggs. Sometimes when you see the word glorified, or you hear that something is glorified, and we're going to talk about God's glorified servant today. Sounds like, woo, yippee, eggs with some garage herbs on them. Glory. Try to define glory. What is glory? Well, let's take a look at the text. He says, Isaiah says in chapter 49, God calls his servant by name, Israel. Israel, in whom I will be glorified. And I think he means something more than garage herbs on the eggs. Another translation of that verse would be, Israel, in whom I will display my beauty. That starts to get to it. How does God display his beauty? If you look up a definition of glory, especially a theological definition, it's like God's presence is among you and you feel it, and it just radiates with the goodness of his presence. That's what glory is. Children can bring parents a great deal of joy, and you might even say glory. Maybe you've seen, or maybe you've been a proud parent at a theater performance or a sporting event or a musical concert. I've experienced that. Pride and joy and maybe a little glory. Recently, I've told some parents something about, like, their kids in confirmation class. And they've said something just right on point. They might have done something that's really kind of mature beyond their years in understanding something. Maybe doing something that's just plain thoughtful. If your son or your daughter goes out of their way to do something helpful for somebody, it's like, yes. And usually when I think about the parents, it doesn't really surprise me so much about what their children do, because children are merely demonstrating the same qualities that they see in their parents. Children can bring parents a great deal of joy and glory. So what does God say here? He says, in Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Well, when I say Israel, you think of the first Israel, the descendants of Jacob. You think about them and the whole history of the Old Testament, they did anything but bring glory to God. He'd chosen them to be his people. He declared his promises to them. He gave them a promised land, and he led them out of slavery to freedom and a new promised land. They were to be his people. They were to be his servant, in which he would display his beauty and his glory to the ends of the earth. That's when your text says, O coastlands, coastlands means Gentiles. People to the ends of the earth, not just those who are in Israel. And he says to him, God says to his servant, it's too little a thing that for you, my servant, to just save the children of Israel. I'm going to take you to the nations, to the Gentiles, all people, to the ends of the earth. But they were ungrateful. In Isaiah's day, before Isaiah's day, and after Isaiah's day, they were ungrateful. They didn't thank God for all the things that He had given them. And they had a wandering eye, wandering after other false gods that their neighbors found attractive, following their fleshly desires. And they abused each other with injustice and oppression. This isn't the way God had things in mind. This isn't the example that He wanted them to be to the rest of the world. So they brought God anything but glory. Like Israel in the Old Testament, we fail to give God glory too at times, many times. We too can be ungrateful for the blessings that God has given us. I was on a hospital call this week with a man who, well, you know him, Russ Ponovas, who had a very severe neck injury. And he's now learning how to walk and use his hands. And he says, Pastor, just trying to shave, I mean, just this one little thing exhausts me. All these things that we take for granted. Do we give thanks for God giving us the ability to use our hands to shave? Little things. Much less the big things. And all the things that we have in our life, we think that somehow we earned them. I earned that. Well, I didn't earn how to use my hand to shave. The houses that we live in, the jobs that we have, we think, well, I earned that. I went to school and I studied hard and I did all that. I earned that. Really? Doesn't God get any credit here? I earned that. Or I think I deserve it. I deserve all these blessings. Life is supposed to be good. I deserve it. In fact, I'm entitled to it. Oof. Really think about that when you say that. I'm entitled to it. We too can find the gods of our neighbors alluring and attractive. Follow after them. Follow the things that they say that are important. Follow the desires of your heart because you've got it all right. Think about that one. We too can be those who think only of ourselves and not of others. Like Israel in the Old Testament, we too fail to bring God glory. Fortunately for us, He doesn't leave us there. A new servant is sent by God. Another servant because the first servant failed. One who will do everything that the first Israel was not. Our Old Testament reading from Isaiah 49 is actually what they call one of the servant songs of Isaiah. There's four servant songs in Isaiah. This is the second one. And we hear what God says about the only one who is going to fulfill and be his servant. The servant in whom I will be glorified. And that's Jesus Christ. The salvation that he brings to us. And Isaiah predicts it here 700 years before Jesus is born. And here we hear the words of the servant of God speaking at the beginning of our lesson, describing how the Lord formed him in the womb, Mary's womb. How God gave him his name, or he's going to give him his name, before he's even born. Through this servant, Jesus, God will be glorified. And God will be chiefly glorified when this servant comes and completes the will of the Father. And when he goes voluntarily and willingly as the Lamb of God to be slain. To be slain on the cross. To willingly lay down his life for the sins of the world. For every time that we've been ungrateful, for self-interested, thoughtless, forgetting about those around us, forgetting about God himself. For all of that, Jesus came. Jesus says this of himself: the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what the suffering servant does. He comes for us to give his life that we might have life in his name. The night Jesus is betrayed, after the Last Supper, before he's captured, he prays with the disciples this. He says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him all authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him." This he says as he's about to be betrayed. God the Father has given him all authority over all flesh, all of us, you and me. And how does he use it? By laying down his life for us. For us ungrateful sinners. And nowhere is the glory of God more visible. Nowhere is the beauty of God better displayed than in the love of God for you on that bloody, gory cross, where he pours himself out for you. That's how he reveals the glory of God for you and for all the world to see. As John the Baptist states so precisely in today's gospel, he points at Jesus and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the light to the nations, the light to the coastlands, even to the coastlands of Lakes Erie in Ontario, to us." It's too small a thing for him to go and redeem just Israel. He goes and redeems us, poor sinners. That's how God brings glory to himself, through his love for you. Freed from our sins, we are free to love God. Freed from our sins, we are freed to love one another. Freed from our sins, we're freed to love someone besides ourselves. we're free to place the needs of those around us above our own. We're freed to serve others. And in that way, we become servants of God. Glorified servants of God. Who give God glory in every time we forgive one another. Who give glory to God every time we come here and welcome each other and share the love of God with each other. And we give glory to God every time we, like John the Baptist, point to Jesus, point to the cross, and say, there is God's love for you. May God be glorified in you, his servants, just as he is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, may